But the elephant's not here. We have a few people missing. And that causes me to come to the message, which you see on the overhead. I am a church member. We're missing some church members this morning. I spoke earlier about praying that the Lord will send laborers to come alongside us and to join us. What I'm suggesting is that we pray and ask God to bring us new church members. But at the same time that I say that, I want us to recognize that we need to be caring about and caring for the people who are already members of this church. And for whatever the reasons, and I'm sure there's many reasons why the individuals that are not here this morning are not here. It's very likely that some people are still traveling. This being holiday season, some people probably have been out of town, maybe are still out of town. And as I well know, some people may be sick. I want to say right now again, I don't want to miss the opportunity to thank Pastor Tom. I called him last Sunday morning at about 6:10, and I remember that time very well because I had struggled with whether or not to call. I'd started feeling poorly Saturday night. I'd had something about a week and a half earlier, and it lasted about 12 hours, so I was giving myself time to see if I was going to recover. And I knew through Saturday night into Sunday morning that I wasn't getting better. I was getting worse. And so knowing Brother Tom and his abilities, I knew that he would be able to step up, step in, and speak to you from the Word of God very adequately. And so I thank you, Tom, for your ability and willingness to serve. But coming back to simply the recognition. I heard Brother Tom say over the few months before I became your pastor, I heard him say, you know, look around and see who you're missing and give them a call. Just say, you know, we miss you and, you know, wanted to let you know that you were missed. And then again, as I've said, and this is becoming more and more a realization for me, what we are doing here as a church is not something within our capacity to really do. It's just like Gideon, who was facing an enemy army, and God was saying, okay, you don't need all of those men. Send some away. Send thousands away. And he's left with 300. And when he's down to that number, then God says, okay, now you will be sure to know that what is going to happen is the Lord. And I think, you know, it seems to me that maybe we're getting there. We're just about there, that, you know, we've come to the conclusion here that, you know, what God is going to do is nothing that we're going to accomplish in and of ourselves. That what God is going to do, He is going to accomplish. And so I want us to be prayerful. Lord, send forth reapers into your harvest. Send them among us. And as we pray that prayer, let's be the as we sang this song, mold me and make me. Let's be the pliable clay in God's hand to allow Him to mold and make us and to do with us as He will. Because when we start praying for Him to put others to work, guess what? He's going to be putting us to work. And so you say, well, I just don't know. Well, that's what this message is about this morning. I want you to know that with God's help, you can do far more than you ever thought possible for you to be able to do. And that's what we're going to talk about. This is actually a series that I'm beginning. And you see the left part of this slide is the book, I Am a Church Member. And it's written by Tom Rainier. He's retired now from his job, but he was president of Lifeway's research arm, and he, for a number of years, did research among America's churches, and he made some findings that he shared with pastors and church leaders that began, well, really continued. He wasn't so much beginning it, but continued a revival of God's work in the church in America. And so this series that I am going to share with you over the next 6 weeks is a journey of sorts, discovering the attitude that makes the difference. And that's what we're going to do, is we're going to look at some things that's going to help us, I believe, make a change in our own lives personally and in the life of this church. Now, Tom Rainier has written against a backdrop of a lot of research, and one of the most telling things that he has found, and others have corroborated, is that 1 out of 10 churches in America, across the board, only 1 in 10 churches is actually growing, or at least growing at a rate where it's not declining. Because, and this is unbelievable, 9 out of 10 of the churches in America are declining. They're losing members. And if they're not just outright losing members, they're not growing at the same rate that their community is growing. And that puts them in decline. Now, this should be alarming to us, because what it's saying is that the church of God, as we have sung about this morning, the church that belongs to God, that He bought with His blood, is declining in our culture, in our time. And that should be an alarm to us to say, well, wait a minute, what's going on? And God, what can I do? Well, here we go. I am a church member. And that's where we begin, is begin to say, I am a church member. Now, Tom Rainier has a lot of background to writing this book. I'm presenting it to you from the background of 40 years of ministry and pastoring in churches. And I know something about church membership. I have worked with churches that I have helped grow. And I have also seen those same churches decline. And I'm thinking of, there's several actually, but one particular church, and I'll just share this with you. One church that I worked with in Virginia Beach, I went there. They were a membership of about 125 members. And we had a good church. We had, the Spirit of the Lord was working among us. And there were different members of the church doing different things. We were all working together, and God was blessing us. And over about 10-year period, we grew as a church from 125 to over 250. And it was a strong and healthy and vital church. After I left, and what happened after I left had nothing to do with me. I'm not taking the blame and I'm not taking the credit. But after I left, after a couple of years, that church had some problems. And it lost more than half of its membership over a year to 2 years' time. until the point, and they continued to decline until today. They meet in a small storefront. They lost their property. They gave up their property, and essentially you could say their story, if you look at it, they lost their property, and they now meet in the storefront. They're just kind of holding on. And that's a sad story. I hate to have to share that, but that's a sad story. What we need to do is to develop, and we can only do this with the help of God, to develop a better story. And that's where we are at in the Gordon Road Church of God, deciding, I'm going to be a church member. Now, I say it this way. I've spent 40 years helping churches grow, and I've been part of that process of helping churches grow by making church members. And I have come to a point in my ministry to be able to look back and say, you know, I thought I was doing right, and I was trying to make good Christians, but my focus was on making good church members. And now I've recognized, you know, that's the wrong approach. Because what we are called to do in Matthew 28 and verse 19 and 20 is to make disciples, not church members. And if it's possible to be a good disciple and be a good church member. But I have seen that you can be a good church member without being a good disciple. And that's why now we have to turn it around and put our focus on being good disciples of Christ. You say, well, then why are you talking to us about being a church member? Because we have the wonderful privilege of being a member of the Blood Bowl Institution that was paid for by a terrible price of the blood of Christ. And it is a privilege to be a member of God's church. It is a privilege. And until we recognize that, we will not act like we have the privilege that we do. And this is part of what I've seen and learned. And others are learning it too, you know, quite obviously, is that our church members, and this is one of the reasons why our churches are in decline, is that our church members have turned that upside down. Instead of being a privilege to be a member of God's church, many members consider church to be a place to be privileged. And therefore to get to hear music that we like to hear and to get to do things that we like to do and get to do it the way we like to do it because we feel privileged. And they've turned that upside down. And here's the verse that I would use. And it's interestingly, it occurred to me last night, I probably realized this before, but Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, go and make disciples. Well, Matthew 20, verse 28, says, Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. You see, Jesus had it right. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And that's what we have to do. And that's what we're going to do through this series is turn this up right side up. This idea of privilege. Yes, we are privileged to be a member of the blood-bought body of Christ. But within this body, we don't have the privilege of saying, we're going to do it my way. We're going to instead do it God's way. And we're going to give our time, attention, and devotion to doing things God's way. We're going to turn it right side up and do as Jesus did. We're going to serve rather than be served. And this is part of the discovery process that we're going to be on over the coming weeks. And as we do this, there's several things that I believe are going to happen. We're going to find joy again in being privileged to be a member of God's church. And as we find again this joy, whether we find it for the first time or find it again, what's going to happen is that this church is going to change. Why? Because we are going to change. When we get this right side up attitude about serving rather than being served, we're going to find a joy of serving and doing as Jesus did, and we're going to be changed. And when we change, the church is going to be changed. So what I want to do in the message this morning, I want to point out, and if you didn't pick up a bulletin when you came in, be sure and pick one up as you go out, because there's an insert that I want you to find. The insert has the sermon message on one side, which I give you for your study later. I'm actually not going to follow that outline. But on the back side of it is a pledge. The first pledge in each of these lessons over the next 6 weeks will have a pledge that I am calling you to join me in making. I'm making this pledge. I don't have to, and you don't have to, but if we don't, I want you to see that if we don't, we're not going to be a functioning body. We're not going to be a properly functioning church that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the first pledge? The first pledge is, I will be a functioning church member. And what I've done on that insert is give you a list of the reasons why we should be functioning church members. Every one of those reasons has a biblical basis to it. There's really no argument to why we should be functioning church members. The Lord has given us every reason, every possible reason that we might need for being functioning members. And so what I wanted to do here is, in looking at this, church membership is functioning membership. A body with non-functioning members is a body paralyzed. And as I've said, and it's real, it's true, it's right, it's accurate, that the large majority of churches in America, across all denominational lines, to some extent, are paralyzed. Why? And paralyzed meaning they're not functioning as the Lord has paid the price to allow and certainly desires to enable them to function. Why? Well, because, as I've suggested, some people have inverted that process of serving in order to be served. They've said, I'm not so much concerned about serving or doing. I want to come to church and I want to be served. And so we look to Jesus and say, something's not right. I'm a follower. I'm a disciple of Christ. And if my Lord himself came and served rather than being served, then I can look to his example and I can follow. So having recognized that one point then, I wanted you to notice this. Even a body that is paralyzed can be a functioning body if it lives by faith. Now think about that for just a moment, and I'll explain what I mean. because I'm thinking, there's a lot of paralyzed churches in America. There's a lot of unhealthy churches in America. That's right. You can describe it paralyzed, unhealthy, declining, not growing. Use whatever metaphor you want to use, and you'd probably be in the ballpark about right. And so we say, well, what can be done? You know, well, what I'm saying is that if we have, just like Gideon, just a few members who live by faith, we can be a functioning church. In other words, we might have a hand that has gone to sleep because it's been sitting on the edge for so long, the blood has stopped flowing. The vital life of the body of Christ has stopped flowing to that member of our body, and it's gone to sleep. It's not functioning. But if we work at awakening that member of our body and getting the blood to flow again, we will have a functioning hand. We will have a functioning leg, arm, brain. And that's where we can begin to function. But there's something that occurred to me through this. And I want to encourage you in this message. And that's why I've chosen this path that I have. Joni Erickson Tada. You probably are familiar with her. You may know a lot about her. She wrote a sermon, actually a message, a speech, however it was presented. She wrote it. It appeared in Preaching Today magazine and was published a number of years ago. You look at Joni here, and you say, well, she's a healthy, even attractive, middle-aged woman. What you don't realize about this picture is, if you don't know her, is that from the neck down, she's a quadriplegic. Now, remember, I said, even a paralyzed body, if it lives by faith, can be a functioning member. And this is what I have seen in Joni Erickson Tada, a quadriplegic who has demonstrated herself to be an amazing woman, having amazing faith, doing incredible and amazing service to the Lord through His church. I want to share just a little bit. And let me say, and I couldn't help, and this is the reason why I'm saying it. Jackie, Tom, your wife, has been such a part of this church that the members of this church speak about her still as being a very real, vital, and important member, even though she's now gone. She's still here in so many real ways. But because of her physical loss, I believe that probably this is one of the reasons why this church is hurting. This church is hurting because it recognizes it has some losses. It's lost members like Jackie. It's lost other members. It's lost members for various reasons. And as I read Joni's story, she has a friend named Jackie. And as I read this about this Jackie, it kind of reminded me of what I've come to understand about your Jackie. And I thought, well, you know, I need to say this, you know, that elephant in the room. You know, maybe I'm right, maybe not. But listen, Joni wrote this message, and she begins talking about going back to Baltimore for a high school reunion. And as she does, she reverts back to her high school days, and she says that she and her friend Jackie were captain and co-captains, respectively, of their high school field hockey team. And in their senior year, they were playing for the county championship. And so they rode up to the competing school's field, and they played the game. But unfortunately, they lost. And so they were back on the bus, and they were heading back to their school, and they were just so brokenhearted that they'd lost. She said that she, you know, a lot of the players, but she and Jackie especially, were sitting on the back of the bus just crying because they felt responsible. They felt like they had let their team down. And so what they did, This indicates the kind of persons that they are. They sat back and they sang, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. And she said, we were glad we had a Savior who understood our heavy hearts. And so she continues this story, having named that. She says, then a couple of months later, they graduated. Then a month after that, she dove into shallow water and broke her neck and became quadriplegic ever since. That was over 40 years ago. And what she said was that after that dive, after experiencing her accident and her paralysis, God suddenly didn't seem so good, that she had great anxiety, that she had real burning questions. Why do we suffer? And she said, because she was heaven-bent on finding answers, she did. And so she, in this message, gives some of the answers that she found very, very fitting and appropriate. But after naming these reasons that she came to and that buoyed her spirit and that carried her along, she said that after a couple of years, she was in the hospital overnight for a checkup. And she said that even with all of our theological ducks in a row, sometimes it's not enough. The pain, the hurt, the loss just seems to outweigh them all. And then she came on this night with nothing to do except stare at the TV. She watched the Birdman of Alcatraz, and this was an old movie. She said that Burt Lancaster just played the part so well behind those bars that she began to identify. And she said that she felt as though she was paralyzed and in prison herself. And so she said out to the Lord, Lord, I can't do this. The hurt is overwhelming. And she said that was the night Jackie snuck in after hours because she worked all day just to see her friend Joni. And she said, though it was late, I was wide awake, struggling with my anxieties. I heard the door crack, peered through the guardrail of my hospital bed, and there was Jackie crawling on her hands and knees across the linoleum floor. She gets right up beside my bed, peers through it at me, and I hiss, Jackie, if they catch you, you're going to get kicked out of here. She said, shh. She took hold of my paralyzed hand, lifted it high so I could see it, then turned her face toward me and began to softly sing, Man of Sorrow, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Joni said, it met my need like nothing else. God is good. And here's a couple of conclusions that she gives to this. She says, suffering hearts need a person, not an answer. And she said, God gave himself a person to and for us. And he has said and promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And Joni says, suffering comes to us to compel us toward God. Unfortunately, some people miss this and they run away from God instead. And as she continues on in this message, Joni began this sermon by talking about her high school reunion. And she comes back to this reunion at this point in her message. She calls a friend and is talking about the upcoming reunion. She says, is Jackie going to be there? And her friend said, Joni, didn't you hear the news? What news? the friend said, oh, it happened last night. You knew that Jackie and her husband separated, didn't you? Yes, I heard that. Well, my friend went on, Johnny says, you know her teenage son, Joshua. He's been having a lot of problems lately. Bad grades in school, hanging around with the wrong crowd, dabbling in drugs. He made a profession of faith some time back, but he's wandered away from the Lord. Last night, the evening news reported that Jackie's son was found in a burnout fire. He set himself on fire, and his dad's house burned down. He left a suicide note in the mailbox. Johnny, didn't anybody tell you? No. No, I didn't know that. I took a deep breath, Johnny says, and she recounted the details of the story. I tried to call Jackie to let her know how sorry I was to hear about her son's suicide. Since I couldn't get hold of her on the phone, I immediately wrote her a letter. I read, and she reads part of it here. It says, Dear Jackie, Ken and I are planning to be in Baltimore soon, and I'm hoping that we can see each other. If so, Jackie, I want to hold your hand as you once held mine in the hospital. Do you remember when you sang to me, Man of Sorrows? I don't know what else to write but that. May the man of sorrows be your comfort, as in the hospital I would hope you would feel what I felt and what I still remember to this day, peace, profound and soul settled. Peace, Jackie, not answers, not reasons. Do you remember that night 30 years ago? Jackie, I've never forgotten it. Johnny says that she traveled to Baltimore, that they sang this song together. And she said that at the time of the writing, she said that she had even talked to Jackie more recently and that her soul sounded settled. The peace still profound. She's not grasping for answers. And Johnny says she's not wanting to read my latest book. Rather, she has peace, knowing the man of sorrows. What a name for the man who came. And I share this with you for this reason, is that this amazing woman, quadriplegic, body paralyzed, has done and continues to do amazing things to the glory of God, for the good of people, her friend Jackie. And Jackie, a woman of faith who came and ministered to Johnny in one of the darkest times of her need. Johnny then comes full circle and serves and minister to her in the very same way. And I share this because you are able to do this same kind of amazing ministry. You don't have to have amazing physical talents, deep spiritual abilities. You just need to have the kind of faith that speaks up and speaks for God when He gives you the opportunity. I want to point here to this. And this is just another example. I'll be brief about this. It's really a much longer, better story than I can justify sharing with you right now. But this is a picture of Emily Colson, her dad, Chuck Colson, who was founder of Prison Fellowship Ministries, a huge prison rehabilitation program that has found wide acceptance among federal prisons, and Emily's son, Max. The story here, and I heard Emily's podcast just the other night in preparation for this message. I was so captivated by it, I listened to the whole thing. She's an amazing woman. Amazing Christian woman, Emily. She said that she went through a terrible divorce soon after her son Max was born. just a terrible divorce, went through that, and as her son began to grow, as she realized that he had autism, and that her going to church over the first few years of his life became so difficult that she just stopped going to church. She just wasn't able. She felt like she wasn't able to go to church. Well, if you don't go to church, you're going to be impacted spiritually, negatively spiritually. It's going to hurt. And this was what was happening to this woman. She felt unable because of her sick son, and so she, because of him, separated herself and him from church, the life of the church, and the blessings that God gives us through his church. And she was hurting, but she realized, she had heard that Joni was going to be in Baltimore. And she remembered how that Joni and her dad had traveled together and worked together in the Billy Graham Crusades. And so she called Joni and spoke to her and told her about her situation. And Joni made one statement that seems like it made all the difference in the world. She said, "Emily, your church would be so blessed to have people with autism running up and down its aisles." And Emily had never thought that her son, who seemed to be such, who seemed to be making it difficult for her and for the church members to worship, that they could be blessed by her son being among them. But she used that as inspiration, and she started working her way back. She didn't just go in. She found ways to work back in to what her son could manage. And then she began, as he grew, and the church recognized his presence and his abilities, church members began to invite Max to serve and to help and to work and to do. And he found his place, and he found his stride, and he became just a happy, lucky, wonderful young participant. And he got to a point where he wanted then to profess his faith and to be baptized. And Emily said that she struggled. You know, she wasn't sure that he really understood. But the pastor says, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks Max's language. He knows. He understands. And so Chuck was able to baptize his grandson, Max. And Max became a very important, as Emily tells the story, and I'm sure there's a lot to the story, but as she tells the story, he's just an amazing blessing to this church. Now, you'd think that the story would be that the church was such an amazing blessing to him, and I'm sure it was, because they invited him in. They welcomed him with open arms. They saw his talents. They put him to work, and he served, and he felt useful, and he was. But the blessing that Emily shares was the what the church received. And so I share this, you know, Joni, coming back to this, Joni being a quadriplegic makes a simple suggestion to a friend that she really doesn't know, that this friend, that God uses in the life of this friend, that propels her back into church service. You say, "Well, what can I do with my family?" That's who I'm talking about. You know, you need to look at your family. You need to look at your friends. You need to look at your coworkers, people that you associate with, and speak into their lives. You know, pray the Lord to give you the opportunity and the words to speak into those people's lives what God is doing, and because God is at work. Jesus said the Father is always working. Find how that you can be God's tool to speak into someone's life. And you don't have to have amazing abilities. We see from Joni, this amazing woman. And so what I want to do here, looking at this, is ask you, join the journey. Join the journey by discovering the attitude that makes the difference. You know, what is the attitude? I've got a clue. I want you to search it. I want you to join this journey. Find out the difference that church membership can make in your life and that can make in the life of this church. So the pledge, I will be a functioning church member. If you have, and what I'm going to do, again, I'm encouraging you, pick up a bulletin, take the insert, take it home, read it carefully. It's a good statement. And then I want you to sign it. It's not enough just to say, I like that. That's a good statement. I think that everybody should sign that and then lay it aside and not sign it. I want you to sign your name, and I want you to put a date, and then I want you to lay it aside somewhere where it can be a real, tangible, visible reminder that you have pledged yourself. Like you're not already pledged. You are. You're already pledged. But I want you to take this insert, and I want you to take this sheet, and I want you to sign your name, and I want you to date it. Because, and I want to, I'll do this. You've got an example to follow right here. Pastor Tom and myself, we have put our names to this pledge. We have said, and I'm showing you this because there's solidarity here among your church leadership. And I count Tom as a very important part of the leadership of this church. What we're saying is, this is important. You know, pick up one of those pledges and pray over it. Talk to the Lord and say, you know, is this really that important? Is this really something that I should actually put my name on and date? And I say, and we're your leadership is saying yes. This is something that you should do. And so while Crystal plays, I want to conclude this message this way. When this journey is over, two things will likely take place. Number one, you will have a new and or renewed attitude about your church. And that's important. That's important, you know, to say, you know, because it's so easy to look at our church and to say, oh, you know, we're so small, or oh, we're so pitiful, or oh, we don't have much ability. That is the wrong set of glasses to be using. You know, I've been looking at this church this morning, and I'm saying, what a privilege. What a blessing. What a joy it is to be sitting here, you know, having the leaders lead us in worship as they do, having the members doing and serving as I see you doing. What a blessing. And that's what we need to be. You know, that's the attitude that I have, and I believe that you can have it too. You probably already do. But your attitude will increase with gratitude to God. And then secondly, your church will begin to change. And that's important. I know that you know that that's important. And it will change because one of its members is healthier. And so this morning, in conclusion, as we offer the opportunity to come before the Lord with your cares and concerns, you know, usually too, and historically, this is an opportunity to confess faith in Jesus, to express a desire to be baptized. We want to give that opportunity. Whatever your cares and concerns are, while Crystal plays this time of devotion, let's make the commitment to the Lord and to one another to be determined to be the kind of church member that God has always intended for us to be. Let's stand together and let's pray.